Hare Krishna. Could everyone hear? Is this a happy place for sitting? Sri Rupa Goswami also felt like this. This is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Rupa Goswami. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan had several Bhajan Kutirs in various places of Brajdham. In the courtyard of Sri Radha Damodar Temple, that was another Bhajan Kutir of Sri Rupa Goswami. Here in the Nandagram area, Rupa Goswami would sit here in this very sacred forest known as Terakadamba. Here he would perform his bhajan, and he would compose his transcendental literatures to establish the Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. In Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read that illustrious verse that was written in a palm leaf and kept in a thatched roof where Rupa Goswami was staying. He expressed to Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami that how is it that Sri Rupa Goswami has understood and tasted the innermost essence of my ecstatic love. Swarup Damodar Goswami replied, "It is because you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon him." On another day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought his most intimate associates to the Siddha Bakula Kutir of Haridas Thakur. And there he had Rupa Goswami reading the various beautiful poetic literatures that he had composed. At that time, all of the devotees were struck with wonder. Sri Ramananda Rai, he said, "This is not poetry. This is a continuous shower of transcendental nectar." The words of Rupa Goswami penetrated deep into the hearts of the Vaishnavas. It was at that time that Rupa Goswami was given the position of the Acharya of our Sampradaya. At Prayag, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, he saw Sri Rupa Goswami, his humility, his sincerity, dedication, his complete willingness to detach himself from everything, save and accept the service of the Lord. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya impregnated Sri Rupa Goswami's heart with his own love. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was empowered to come to Vrindavan to establish, through his literature and through his lifestyle, the principle that all followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must follow. Thus, our Gaudiya Sampradaya are known as Rupanukas. We cannot actually be real followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings without following in the footsteps of Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. Here, Śrī Rūpa Gosvāmī lived in such a simple way in this beautiful Terakadamba forest. Previously, in Ramkeli of Bengal, he was a very high minister of the king. He and his brother Sanatan had fabulous wealth and power. But they renounced everything to live in this simple forest. And how did they live? They would sleep under various trees every night. They would beg madukari, door to door, beggars getting some rotis, sometimes some chickpeas. They would only wear the cloth that was discarded by others, and that they only had two pieces, a little chadar and a little coping. They hardly slept 2 hours a night, and then even that was impossible because they were so engrossed in their devotional service. Just close by is Sanket, where you will find Gopal Bhatt Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. It's a hole underground. No ventilation. In the winter, in the summer. The six Goswamis perform such severe austerities. But at the same time, they were always engrossed in the highest ecstasies of spiritual love and the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. Yesterday we heard some readings by Sachinandan Swami Maharaj from Prabhupada's works where he explained the mood of the Goswami's devotional service. It was always in deep humility. They were always feeling themselves most fallen, unqualified, and crying in separation from Radha and Krishna. He Radhe Brajadeva Ke Chalalite He Nanda Srimadata. Where is Sri Radharani? Where is Krishna? Are you at Govardhan? Are you on the bank of the Jamuna? Are you in the forest of Vrindavan? They were roaming through Vrindavan in these moods of ecstatic love and separation. Prabhupada tells, they never said, I have found Krishna. They were always searching for Krishna. In this way, they taught us the perfect way of becoming Krishna conscious. By always looking for Krishna, always searching for Krishna, always trying to cultivate the pangs of separation from Krishna. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mood was like that of Srimati Radharani when Sri Uddhava came to Vrindavan. Not far from here is Uddhava Kyari. If we have time, we will go there today. That is where Uddhava came to deliver his message to Sri Radha and Gopis. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the literatures of the six Goswamis, what was the condition of the gopis when Uddhava saw them? They were so intensely immersed in this love in separation. Uddhava, who was Krishna's dear friend in Mathura, could see that there was no one who were feeling a deeper presence of Krishna with love than the residents of Vrindavan. Thus he desired to become a little creeper on the ground to be stepped upon by the feet of the Brijabasis. There is a forest, there is a tree that we will be seeing in a few minutes, the Terakadamba tree. When Srila Rupa Goswami would be writing his literatures, he was not simply composing according to his imagination. In order to properly understand Sri Rupa Goswami, we must understand this song of Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Rupa Manjari. Sri Rupa Manjari is the most confidential assistant of Lalita Sakhi, who is the most confidential friend and associate of Srimati Radharani. The Manjaris are usually between about 10 and 12 years old, eternally. Sri Rupa Goswami is personal associate and witness of the eternal pastimes of Sri Radha Gopinath in Goloka Vrindavan. That Sri Rupa Manjari has descended into this world as Sri Rupa Goswami. Most of the places of Brajbhumi were lost to the view of the people in general. When Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan in the year 1514 of our calendar, he roamed through the 12 forests and he personally established some of these holy places like Radha Kund, Sham Kund, Akurura Ghat in Lital. But he ordered Rupa and Sanatan to roam throughout Vrindavan to actually reveal to the world the transcendental places of Krishna's pastimes. And others followed who assisted in this great mission. And it is there by their mercy that we come to Vrindavan and we're allowed to see these places. And pray and give our hearts in this divine atmosphere. So when Sri Rupa Goswami was writing, he was actually experiencing through his divine vision the transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan. He would be in deep meditation and revelation. And because in Vrindavan, Krishna's eternal abode, everything and everyone is specially blessed. Supernatural things would take place. The power of association. This Kadamba tree just by associating with Rupa Goswami would take on the same inner qualities as Rupa Goswami. We should understand the power of association. We become like what and who we associate with. Therefore, Mahaprabhu told us, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. Moments association with sadhu. Sadhu is one who loves Krishna. Can open the doors to the highest revelations of the spiritual world. There is nothing more valuable than that moment's association in all of creation. King Prataparudra was willing to give up his entire kingdom, his family, and all of his royal opulence, even for one moment's association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood the value of that association. When our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, came to the West, very difficult to understand how some of these people were living. But they were transformed. Like touchstone. Touchstone can turn iron into gold. Similarly, the association of great personalities can transform a heart that is given to lust and envy and anger, greed, pride and illusion. A heart that is attached to the sinful ways of egoistic material existence. And one can aspire for exclusive pure devotional service. You may see among some of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, they may not be all perfect, obviously. The amazing thing is before they met Srila Prabhupada, most of them, their aspiration, their purpose of life was simply material enjoyment. But after just a little association with him, even though they may have been conditioned by so many materialistic experiences, their goal, their purpose, their aspiration was pure, unalloyed devotional service. They were willing to perform tremendous austerities, leave their homes, leave everything for that. And some are continuing on in that same line. Others later on, due to their previous conditionings, may not have been able to maintain such a high standard of total, pure surrender. But still, within their hearts, that is their aspiration. That is what they are longing for. We judge a person by the ideal that they hold sacred within their life. Millions upon millions of people were given that ideal just by association of Srila Prabhupada. Because that was his ideal. Pure, unalloyed love. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagatisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavata bhaktirohaita kitvai. This is what Vrindavan means. You cannot enter Vrindavan simply by a railway ticket or a plane ticket or coming by taxi or car, even tanga or rickshaw. You may physically enter Vrindavan, and that is a good fortune. But to actually enter into Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. When we have no desire for wealth or beautiful men and women or followers or prestige when we don't even care for liberation, we don't even mind suffering. The gopis didn't mind going to hell to please Krishna. When our only desire in life is unconditional service to the Lord, then we understand what is Vrindavan. Vishaya chadiya kabe sudaha bimana kabe hama heribo sri Vrindavan. Thakur Narottam prays in this way. He's longing. When will that day come? When? He's longing, he's begging, he's praying for that day. Are we praying for that day? Is that our exclusive aspiration in life? When will that day come when I will be free from all selfish desires for material enjoyment? Then and only then will I understand what is Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti. He says that to attain this state, one must follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath. By understanding their writings, their lifestyle. So Sri Rupa Goswami, when he would be meditating upon, experiencing, and writing about the feelings of separation for Krishna, he would begin to weep in the ecstasy. And the Terakadamba, the tree, due to his association, would begin to weep. All the beautiful Kadamba flowers and leaves would just start to wilt and fall like tears profusely from the tree all around Sri Rupa Goswami. And when Sri Rupa Goswami would write about the meeting of Radha and Krishna, Sambhog, when his hairs would stand on end in joy, and due to his association, the Kadamba flowers would just, thousands and thousands of Kadamba flowers would just blossom. By his association, that Kadamba tree was experiencing the same ecstatic, loving emotions as him. So this is our prayer. That by association with sincere and dedicated devotees, we can also experience what they have. Love for Krishna. The greatest kings will fall at the feet of the simple ascetics who have love for Krishna. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are our ultimate models of what we aspire to follow. Anyone who thinks that they can do it is in some egoistic illusion. But we can follow by being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That is our desire. That is our goal. Here in this beautiful bhajan kutir, let us sincerely pray from our hearts at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami that he may bestow his unlimited mercy upon us and grant us an attitude of selfless service, longing for pure love in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Unmotivated, uninterrupted desire to serve the order of our spiritual masters, to hear the glories of the Lord, and to chant the holy names. Srila Rupa Goswami ki
jai.
This is opulence. These beautiful kalpa vriksha trees, this nectarine kund just in the foot of Nandeshwar, the hill of Nandagaon. Some of you have come from the wealthy city of Bombay. Some have come from Italy, from America, from Russia, from England. Those of you from UK. The British came and conquered India. At least they think they thought they did for some years. But Srila Prabhupada, he was so kind. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, why have you come to this country, when Prabhupada was in England? And he explained that the British came to India to plunder its most valuable jewels. The Hope Diamond. The greatest diamonds and jewels in the British museums and in the Royal Treasury, they all came from India. In fact, most of them came from the Krishna River in South India. So the British came and for several hundred years just plundered to try to get the wealth and the jewels of India and bring it to England. But you forgot the most precious of all jewels. The Shiromani, the crest jewel of all jewels, the jewel of love of God. So since you have forgotten, I have come to bring you that jewel. It is the greatest wealth. Prabhupada came with no money, practically no possessions, materially, but he came with the greatest wealth. And now we see people from all these wealthy parts of India and the rest of the world are coming here to sit in this simple forest of Nandagaon. Under these simple little trees, begging and praying, I want this wealth. You see how simple it is around Govardhan Hill. There are devotees all over the world begging for eternal residence at the foot of Govardhan. But we are unqualified. We should not think we are qualified. But we should aspire. We should beg. This is the wealth that we want in our life. And that's what differentiates the gift of Lord Chaitanya and our Vaishnavacharyas from those other religions of the world that pray to God for artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, for materialistic things, for relief from suffering, for wealth, for health, for piety. And some very, very rare souls want to enter into the majestic kingdom of God. Very rare. Others simply want God to make their materialistic life better. But Vrindavan is that place. We don't even want the majestic opulences of the kingdom of God. We simply want to serve. We simply want to please. We simply want to love. That's all. That is the ultimate wealth. And in the association of Vaishnavas, we can understand to some extent that concept of pure unalloyed devotion. However, without that association, it's an inconceivable idea. Inconceivable. Practically insane and ridiculous. I have told many times, the first day I came to Vrindavan on Janmashtami, the day after Janmashtami in 1971, this one sadhu told me, he was a Moni Baba, he was writing on a little blackboard. He said, he wrote English too. He said, "People of India and the rest of the world think that the residents of Vrindavan are crazy." He said, "We are crazy. And if you stay here, you will become crazy too." And Prabhupada wrote, his first booklet that he wrote in America was, "Who is Crazy?" That everyone's crazy. The nature of the jivatma is that it's crazy. The question is, who are you crazy for and what are you crazy for? Our natural position is to be crazy for Krishna. That's reality. But when we forget our relationship for Krishna, we become crazy for materialistic things. Trying to substitute that lost happiness of loving Krishna with the experiences of this world. It's insanity. It's craziness. It can't be done. It's like trying to quench your thirst by putting fire in your mouth. Huh? Cigarettes are symbolic. People are thinking they're enjoying life. Just breathing fire in their mouth. They're getting disease, they're getting addicted, and they're thinking they're having fun. Have you seen Bombay? These young people, Bollywood people, they're smoking their cigarettes together and they're thinking, "Oh, this is enjoyment. I'm with my girlfriend smoking a cigarette and she's smoking a cigarette. How nice." What are they doing? They're killing themselves. They're polluting themselves. They're addicting themselves to an unquenchable craving. And they're thinking this is happy. In fact, they're breathing in fire and they think that they're cool. It's crazy. But material civilization is crazy. We're trying to quench the desire of our heart, the desire for pure love, for the all-attractive, all-beautiful, all-merciful Krishna. With what? With the burning sparks from this blazing forest fire of material existence. But Krishna is so merciful that he descends to this world out of his kindness to those who have rejected him, to to attract our hearts back to his eternal loving pastimes. Only one time in a day of Brahma does he appear in his original form. And in that same day, in the Kali Yuga, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. Not as the ordinary Yuga avatar, but Krishna, tasting the sweetness of Radha's love and distributing that love to the world through the chanting of the holy
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Krishna!
When Krishna appeared, he lived in Gokul Mahavan for the first 3 years and 4 months. Then they moved to various places, Chattikar, Kelanvan, Kamyavan, and ultimately returned to Nandagaon. When Krishna was approximately 6 years and 8 months in age, he was made his residence in Nandagaon.